them come. This is their fate.
All right, let me get my Birdman hands in there. All right. Welcome back to the House of Wolves podcast. I'm your host, Deontay, here with my near and dear friends, Jalen and Josh. Today we got a lot to talk about because CES is going crazy and NVIDIA seems like they got an alien in their camp. I don't know what they're doing, but they keep making better stuff. So we're going to talk about a lot of all that, Lenovo and Asus's keynotes as well. So just a lot of CES. So if you're interested in that, stick around. So we got a lot to talk about. But before we get started, per usual, Jalen, Josh, tell the people how you been, what you've been up to, how's life going, what you've been playing, and everything else in between. Talk to the people.
What's up? Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year to y'all. Been doing pretty good here with the family. I've been just busy working on like projects, trying to get ready for, you know, maybe some new opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's took up a good chunk of my own time.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the family, so for New Year's in Japan, like the New Year's celebration is like a week long. Where it's not like a whole bunch of parties, but like with your family, there's like you're gonna maybe visit a family grave. You're gonna have like a family dinner with like special meals that are spread out over a couple days. So we did that. So we spent a lot of time with the family, a lot of cleaning, a lot of meeting cousins and in-laws and stuff like that. But overall, it was pretty good time for us. And it's actually not too cold in Japan right now, which is normally is super cold here during this time. And then we also had some friends who were visiting Japan with their family from the U.S. And they came to stop by. So we hung out for them for like this past weekend. Okay. Didn't really go anywhere, just show them around the city. And eat a lot of, show them a lot of Japanese food.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
Okay.
And yeah, I went back to work this week. So yeah, back to my normal schedule. As far as like entertainment, I play a little bit of the game I was telling y'all about last time.
Wayfinder.
Yep. Still playing that. Cause when the game came, when I bought the game, I was playing it on the normal difficulty, but they ended up in the update during December, which was nightmare mode. So I actually started over on nightmare mode because I was only like 10 hours in. So I started over, basically just, you know, just like Wayfinder or something. It's better drops, harder enemies. But it was actually pretty fun and not that difficult. And plus it gives you better rewards. So, play a little of that when I got the chance. But the project I've been working on actually takes up a bunch of RAM. So I haven't been able to play like while I'm doing work. So, I've been using, GeForce Now, just to like, you know, log into my account, play the game for a little bit without having to interfere with like what's going on with my home PC. But yeah, for me, that's about it. But very busy New Year, but like nothing too spectacular, I guess.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's one of those things where it's fun to, it's good to kind of take this time. I feel like the new year is always that time to reset anyway, where you're trying to like kind of get a bunch of stuff done and you don't really have like right now, you're just a little bit more motivated than normal. So actually it's good that you kind of like prioritizing the stuff that you want to kind of start your year off right for versus like the other stuff. So yeah, definitely in that same mode. What about you, Jalen? I don't know why I blanked on your name for like 20 seconds. But what about you, Jalen? What you been up to? Forgot your name, man. You supposed to be best friend. Dang. My bad. My bad, JC.
Shoot. I haven't been doing too much lately. Really just I'm trying to work out. I had started the year. And y'all could feel free to join me on this too, but I was just like, you know what? I need to be in the gym 3 to 4 times a week. I know we always got our gym goals and this, that, and the third, but you know, I was trying to put something a little bit more tangible. So I got like, I'm gonna be more consistent last year or, you know, the year before. But this time I was like, I gave myself a number of times I need to be in the gym. So with that being said, I said 365 divided by 2. That's 182.5. You go ahead and round up because, I mean, we're pushing ourselves, right? Push it to the limit. Hey, that. So 183 days is like the golden number. So I need to go to the gym 183 days before the year is over. So that's on average about 15 times a month. So months got about, you know, like 5-ish weeks or whatever, you know, like the 31 days and stuff like that. So, I mean, that could kind of equate to like 15 to 16 times a month or whatever. So that's about half the time, 50%. So that's my goal that I'm shooting for. I'm going to go work out tomorrow morning if I don't go today. For sure, I'm trying to make sure I work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning time. So, you know, that's going to help out maybe like a Saturday, every other Saturday or something like that. So basically what I'm getting at, I'm finna hit that goal, stay consistent, and then be Black excellence. So anybody want to join me? Or y'all don't talk at once now.
Like, that is definitely a goal of mine, but I'm stretching myself thin because I have mandated 3 other things that require so much attention that I can't really add to it. I only can try to force myself to make better decisions to create time for it as I go through this process of mandate what I've already mandated out for me. So no, but I am trying like to incorporate some stuff to do
exercise, like bike exercise at your desk.
Yes. I need something that will allow me to continue. Like, I need to focus and I need a cadence that really helps before I can really start to add stuff to my plate. And I haven't figured it out. It really is a whole work, life, home, and like second work, trying to balance everything. So it's kind of tough to commit to something right now when I don't have this completely figured out, but I'm demanding more of myself right now. So it's kind of like, I would, because that is one of the goals too. And I feel like this is going to be the biggest time where I'm super motivated and I got to reset. So I should connect, you know, or commit to that too, but I want these things to work first. So it's going to still be one of those back burner things for now, but I would definitely work towards at least getting on that bandwagon here over the next month and a half after I figure out the cadence that I want to follow for all my other stuff. So
I get you one of them portable treadmills, man. There you go right there.
I do have the one where I can just keep stepping on, like the little step master or whatever. I do have that. I'm not saying I don't have it.
Get the treadmill.
The walking treadmill?
Yeah, you just put one on the ground and then you start walking on it.
Yeah, I got the standing desk to do it too. I'm just saying I have a one upstairs that's a walking treadmill that I can bring down here and use that. But at the same time, again, it's more of creating, not trying to take time from other things that I need to focus on to create more time for it. It is to literally be more diligent and more disciplined in the stuff that I'm doing to cut out pretty much the fat to the point where I am creating time for these activities that I need to focus on as well. So I don't want to mix things. I want to focus on what I need to focus on here. And then as I do that, it becomes easier for me to kind of put more on my plate. So it's kind of crazy, but it is one of those things where the more demand I put on myself, the more I become efficient. That allows me to do more stuff. So, yeah, that's what I'm working on right now. And I really don't want to say, yeah, I'm going to do that too. Because if I break on one thing, I feel like that's when I always mess up and break on everything else. So I need to get this down packed first. So no, long way of saying no, until I'm ready. And I'm hoping to be ready so I can at least put some effort into saying, ask me again mid-February. and then we can go from there. I want to put a time constraint on me getting my stuff together. So
yeah, no, that's fair. That's what I'm shooting for doing. Obviously there's limitations with that. I haven't figured out if I'm gonna be like, well, I went to go hoop today, does that count? I kind of don't want to count hooping because I want that to be something on the side. Additionally, like you said, it's the new year, trying to set other things in place. So I got a couple other things. I ain't got like any hard commitments or like any full like schedule how I'm going to do this. I got an idea to some capacity, but I don't got like a systematic breakdown on how I'm going to do it like I do with as far as like working out. So I'm always big on trying to make sure I'm staying fit. You know, I just feel like health as well. I'm getting older. You know, it's my 30th decade and stuff like that. So I'm really concerned. So really just trying to focus on that. That's pretty much it. I'll try to figure out ways to make some more cheese or whatever, do something on the side. So, but other than that, game-wise, what I've been playing, I haven't really been playing too much. I think last time I had said something, I had beat the little Shadow Generations thing and was comparing that to like the Sonic Generations and seeing the gameplay changes. Additionally, mm-hmm. I still just been playing Metaphor. I ain't gonna lie, low-key been wanting to play Sonic Heroes a little bit. Stuff been coming across my feed. I don't know why the Sonic algorithm been hitting me, bro. And I'm Sonic Heroes low-key has some bangers on this game. I'm looking like, man, let me go down that road of nostalgia real quick. Oh, I was like, bro, I hop on Sonic Heroes with the quickness, bro. See some of them bad controls where you running up a thing and then you on top of the little loop thingy and then you just fall down because of the directional. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me go see some of these piss poor mechanics. But other than that, though, that's really been about it, though. So I was trying to figure out if and when I'm going to go to Japan. I had hit Josh up, he hit me back. He like, man, just stay home, bro. So, you know, I'm trying to take that into consideration. But other than that, I've just been chilling.
Just stay home, bro. The nostalgia is in the air a little bit, because I was looking at like playing Mad Max not too long ago again, or there's a few other games. You know, I love me some Avalanche Studios. They the ones that made Just Cause. Anyways, I ain't been doing much. I've been trying to work on a cadence for myself in regards to uploads, side stuff, other side stuff, my real work job and family. So it's been really, really just trying to create a space that will allow me to continue to grow. So the gaming wise, my little brother was up here. So I ain't really get to play much. I think me and Jalen hopped on Marvel Rivals for like 4 games or something like that. And then we got off. I was also playing Space Marine 2, which is really, really good. I like Space Marine. I find a lot of that old Gears of War-esque. I miss it a little bit. So this was, you know, filling that scratch a little bit because I had played a Gears of War since Gears 5, and then I made Jalen play a little bit of what was the one we was playing? I forget what it was. It was the expansion for Gears 5. And I don't remember what it was called, but I kind of got him to play a little bit of it on his Xbox Series X when he first got it. I was wanting to play something like that. Space Marines 2 is right up that alley. So if you enjoy games like that, it's really, really good. I did I did buy Outlaws because it was cheap, and I was like, okay, I get it. So I did get it for the PS5. I don't know when I ever play that game, but I just wanted to, you know, purchase it to have it so that if I do end up getting around to being able to play Outlaws again, at least Ubisoft is the smarter of the companies when it comes to cross save, that I can pick up my save and play it, finish it on the PS5. Because I did do the whole subscription for a little bit, but now that I have a physical copy, I can finish it up on the PS5 Pro, and I'm pretty happy with the visuals there. So no complaints, I suppose. But yeah. That's pretty much what I've been doing, putting out videos and trying to outdo myself from last year. So that's pretty much what's been going on. But with all of that out the way, oh, kids are fine as usual. They're always fine. They're having a blast, tearing up the house. They throw their little cars at my... They've been throwing their cars at my little table that I got in my living room. So now I got scuff marks and I got to go find some fixed paint so I can paint the chips they done made into this wood piece of table or whatever. So they're having a blast. They wrecking the home. That's what you expect when you have boys. If you don't expect them to break something, yeah, you probably shouldn't have had them. But yeah. That's what they've been up to. They're having fun. They still in that phase of not being on potty train, but they talking like crazy. It's time to, I think we got to start that journey, which is, it's probably going to be a tough one for a little bit. Two of them. I don't know. There might be some scary, scary dark days ahead, but it's time. I'm almost sure they're ready. So that's one of those things that I'm gearing up to on that, home life. Right now, potty training. But yeah, let's move on. I mean, the one thing that is very much so the big thing that we're going to be talking about is CES, and I guess we might as well, as I stated, start with the biggest, good old NVIDIA. I know it's a big debate on how to say that, but that's how I say NVIDIA. There was quite a bit of stuff announced, and I watched that whole presentation. It was failure after failure after failure because of AI. It was pretty funny to watch Jensen, the CEO of NVIDIA, couldn't get AI to work properly, and they are the AI kings at this point. But every time he tried to do something with AI, every time that thing was supposed to hit a right note, it was supposed to do something magical with the screens. It just seemed like that guy was up there lost the whole time. But what he was actually providing us, was actually interesting. Was anybody able to watch this? I know CES has different time zone information, the time zones is probably based around California, so I'm assuming you were not able to catch any of this stuff, Josh, or were you?
No, I didn't watch it live.
Okay. Yeah, watching it live would have been a treat. Trust me, it was pretty freaking funny. But it wasn't supposed to be funny, truly. But everything was messing up. So, luckily, the media did not harp on that. They really much was just focusing on all of the new things coming out of it. I think the biggest thing that obviously came out of this is the RTX 5070's price, $549, and it's supposed to be 4090 performance. Granted, with a huge amount of salt, unfortunately, because that is something that is all completed, and he kind of already said it. None of it could be achievable unless AI, outside of, you know, using AI. So most of that performance is because of DLSS4 and the frame generation, which is now multi-frame generation. Josh, do you use do you use frame generation right now in your game on your PC?
So I've tried it, and I've actually like tried to mess around with the settings a lot to like really try to get a good look on it. Really, the only game that I have that would even benefit from is like Cyberpunk, because it's built for that. But it sucks. That and Star Wars, where like it looks very good. It's like, okay, the settings are perfect. I have above 60 FPS. I got the graphics up high. The frame gen is working. And then I start walking down the street, and then I'll see something that just looks weird, and it's just gonna bother me because it's like interpolating things. But when you have things that are like shiny lights and also a reflective surface, and you got people or cars going in front of it, it doesn't know what to do. And so like, especially in Star Wars, like I got to the first city, and it's like, okay, the city looks good with the frame gen, but off in the distance, they got like a chain link fence, and you know, the fences are thin and it's far in the distance.
Yep.
And it's like every time you move, it becomes like super smeared across the screen. It's not like, oh, it's a little pixelated, so I can just maybe ignore it. It's like I turn my face away from the screen, away from the fence, and that fence is still like smeared across the screen for like half a second. And it does that all the time for anything that's like that. So anyways, I think Digital Foundry did like a big breakdown of it where it frame gen looks amazing when you're being still. But when you're actually playing a complex game, I haven't found a use for it yet, even though performance wise, it does add a good benefit. But realistically, for me, at least with my card, it's like just either turn off some of the settings, like ray tracing, whatever, so that you don't need frame gen. That's probably going to give me better performance.
Now, is DLS a different story? Is that actually a meaningful upgrade?
Oh, DLSS, I use all the time. Okay. Yeah, it's just once you start stacking multiple of their things, it does run into issues. But like DLSS as its own, for me, it depends on the game for sure, but it adds the biggest performance, noticeable performance jump, and it doesn't degrade the visuals as much as like FSR does for me. FSR for some games is okay, but it really depends on their implementation. And FSR, a lot of times, like there are some like mods that maybe you can implement with like some PC games, but generally it's for the developer to do a little tweaking so that it functions as it's supposed to with FSR. Where DLSS, I can just turn it on and it gives me 40, 50 frames and I don't really notice a big difference.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I kind of wanted to start, is with the 5070 and just kind of talking through what I find value in with that card and what I find value in with this lineup. I find the $549 price tag to be valuable to the 4090 or the 40 series cards that are kind of overpriced right now. So these new cards that will come into the market, not saying that the 40 series are bad cards at all. They're not. So if you got a 40 series, you're probably okay. It's more so if you're looking for these upticks and using this DLSS4 and the multi-frame generation, that's where you want to actually jump to these cards. But there is a significant upgrade from going from the 30 series to the 50 series. So what this does is it creates a fair market again for their cards and what people want to do to upgrade. But it also gives me a sense of realistically what we're going down the path of, because this is their flagship cards. And most of the computing isn't being done by the card itself and in regular restoration. it is being done by AI. So I don't know. I'm hesitant, but I'm super excited to see where it goes. As you could tell when he was presenting all this stuff, he was showing off little baby micro cards. Like, they was able to put these things in laptops very easily, not without creating more thickness to them due to the fact that these aren't really that big of cards. It's really just the fans attached to this card and the amount of the capabilities that the car has with path tracing, full ray tracing, and being able to do all of these things. It showcases that AI is pretty much the future of is the future of graphics and the future of graphical power and how you showcase games. So how do y'all feel about AI doing this? How y'all feel about it being the next step? Are you still of the camp of, you know, rasterization is the goal, is the key, is the master? Or are y'all kind of on board with the new way of the wave? Because this is the new wave. This is literally, this is crazy how powerful they are. That's what worries me. It's crazy how powerful these things are. It's crazy how, or at least the projected or perceived power is, and how they could get a, you know, previously $1,600 card performance to $549. That's a steep price drop, and still be able to get that performance level based off of AI tools. Like, this is the big way for me in regards to how Microsoft and Sony will be able to still continue to compete with the PC market at cheap levels. So what are y'all thoughts on that? Do you think frame generation and all this stuff is going to get a little crazy? It's going to look like soup. What y'all think?
It's tough to say, because I would say you can't argue with results, and with the 30 and 40 series, I think the results were really clear that their technology works and their approach to it does work, and there are a lot of benefits to it. Mm-hmm. Plus the prices, at least for the 30 series, were really cheap and reasonable compared to a Ryzen card. Mm-hmm. But as far as the future, I think I don't know the exact video, but a couple months ago, Digital Foundry did a pretty good breakdown of DLSS versus FSR and stuff like that. And I think how they explained it is that when you're, I'll just say the post-processing for a lot of video games and how they're built in a certain way where when you're involved with FSR, if you put it in the right pipeline or you put it in the right order, the FSR is going to add really good benefits. Whereas DLSS is able to kind of just take whatever information and interpolate it, you know, whatever generation they're using to output the image. So anyways, they got two different approaches. The FSR approach allows for the game to, I guess, be built traditionally, mm-hmm. and the developer has to do the work for it to come out and look good. Either way, whichever works is good. I think what I'm worried about is kind of the NVIDIA blanket output of letting the, I don't know if it's AI, if it's just traditional machine learning or whatever, but AI is the buzzword. If the AI is going to just do a blanket approach to it, I worry that the output is not going to be, I don't know how to explain it in a technical way, but there should be some issues, or the faithfulness of what the output is not true. I don't really know how to explain it without any examples, but if I'm thinking about Cyberpunk and with the reflections and things like that, sometimes it can look really, really good when you run it through the NVIDIA software. But sometimes it looks really, really bad. And I can see that the computer is trying to guess at what should come out. And I feel like that is what worries me, that it has to try to guess when it should just be able to read the code. but it can't. It has to read what's on the image. I guess that's what I'm worried about, where instead of reading the code like line by line, like a traditional post-processing process does, it's looking at what is being output only through the graphics card. But as like what you see on the screen, and it's trying to guess the next frame. That's my best technical breakdown. So it's cool. I like DLSS. I like NVIDIA. I'm interested in their software. But personally, yeah, I do think that going 100% all in on the AI might not be the best for video games, at least. I don't really care about what other industries are using it.
Yeah. To me, you kind of hit a key point for me, but the other key point for me, at least, is based performance. Honestly, if I did not have any interest in, you know, using any of your tools, your AI upscaling tools, this has become a weight paperweight, essentially. Like, am I getting worse performance than a previous generation device or graphics card? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was to just plainly turn off DLSS and turn off FrameGen, and I just compared it simply enough to your 3080 series versus what this AI computing card could do at 549 in 2025, is that beating it? That's what worries me. It's like, everybody doesn't want to incorporate these tools into their games. Everybody doesn't want these to be the preferred way to play their games. Some people want a title they want to be able to say whether or not these things are used in their game. They want to be able to use customized hardware. They don't want that your DLS to be the default. We have our own super sampling. We have our own objectives with what we wanted to do and how we want our stuff to present. If you become
That's a good point with like Star Wars, like, because that use NVIDIA software so heavily, where it's like you have to use it on that game unless you like want poor performance. And it's not that necessarily with the new cars it will be the case, because they won't have the backup hardware capability to kind of like brute force it. Like it needs the DLSS and FrameGen.
That's what worries me. Like, NVIDIA is literally throwing caution to the wind and expecting everybody to jump on board with AI today. And I'm worried that as they pursue that AI, and I'm saying that it's not like it won't work. I'm saying that people have, and I'm not saying that these AI cores and everything, like, I don't understand half the stuff Jensen was talking about. All I knew is that if I'm thinking of it from apples to apples, you showed me no true, rasterized performance numbers. You showed me no true. You showed me a bunch of numbers that could be, fudged. You showed me a bunch of numbers that made me not mean anything. So when I think about it, I'm thinking, yeah, that'd be great if I was all into the 70 games that, kind of support DLSS 4 today, but I'm not. I'm into thousands of games. I'm into a bunch of different games that potentially may not ever incorporate your upscaling, or want to incorporate your upscaling, or even prefers it be on because it just has some limitations that they're not in agreement with. So that's where it becomes, well, if you don't have it on there, is my card no longer worthy? Am I no longer able to play this game until you guys decide to incorporate that? You know, the higher scale, the higher versions of like these graphics cards, Yeah, they want you to support them out the gate, but at the same time, they probably have the smallest market at the time. It's kind of like trying to, push for the new PlayStation or new console generation when you know your game will probably sell better on the PS4 or something because it's just more out there. So it is one of those things where I feel like there is little to no cost. There's little to no, like being cautious for them. It's kind of like just breakneck speed, and I don't know if that's the right move. I'm not saying that AMD is in a better space. Right now, they just seem like chump change. Everybody's just laughing, and I'm like, oh, you ain't got DLSS, you ain't got the AI, you don't got the answer sway. Essentially, it's because nobody's checking for them because they're not the ones at the forefront of innovation. They're literally waiting on the back end. But if AMD is providing rasterized performance that is outmatching the newer cards at 549, it just feels funny that that they're charging so little. You know what I mean? It feels as if there is a limitation that we have not seen yet, and it's cool that they providing entry level into AI, but I think that they should label it the AI card and not a traditional graphics card because it's not anymore. It's an AI card. That's what I feel like. I don't know. Maybe I ain't got no merit, and maybe what I'm saying is crazy, but it just feels like it should be called the AI card versus the actual graphics card because I don't feel like it's really in the same realm of what a traditional graphics rendering is. I think it's its own thing. And this should have came out alongside traditional cards. But maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe it's not the same. Maybe it literally can do all the things we're talking about at better performance, and it doesn't need all these crazy things because it's still like three timesing what the traditional could do. It's not as if it has to have a baseline, you know what I'm saying? Like any type of frame generation has to work with the frames that they have. Now you're 4Xing it because you're doing multi-frame. I'm looking for the numbers where it's not multi-frame. I'm looking for the one frame generation so that way we can kind of get a baseline of what the performance can be without all of these bells and whistles being in the game. So that's what I'm waiting on. I'm hoping to see some numbers there. And seeing what it truly is capable of. But we're not going to get that before these things sell out. And I think a little, maybe some people are just jumping in head first and they're like, this is the new future. And they could be a little disappointed. I feel like the messaging behind these 5090 cards and or these 50 series cards is a little skewed. And we're not getting the full picture just yet. I'm not trying to be a skeptic because what I heard from them and what I saw, I'm talking about upgrades and every little thing that like that we're talking the Project Digits, the personal AI computer, supercomputer, being like $3,000, but you can run like it's a supercomputer. I didn't understand what they meant until I looked up some of the parameters around this AI supercomputer and what it can truly do. As it sits tiny on your desk, like almost smaller than a Mac Mini. I feel like those types of achievements are kind of insane. And I feel like these things are really going to, bring in that new wave of new AI in more capable ways. I'm talking like when he was talking about physical AI and being able to kind of create those things. And I read, I like I said, I watched the whole keynote. I do enjoy this kind of conversation, even if I don't understand half of it. I feel like there's a lot to learn in AI right now, and I feel like they are the people that's innovating in a way that others can't match yet. So a lot of what they were saying, I was eating it up, but when you have to come down to what is it truly doing for like if you're looking at CUDA cores, you're talking about 16,000 on the 4090, going to 6,000 on the 5 on the 5070. So you can tell that, it's just not the same. I understand where people are coming from and they're being excited, but that ain't the type of performance you're talking about. And I feel like performative wise, the biggest gain here is going from the 4090 to the 5090 for rasterization and performance. And as you think about that, they're still charging us $400 more. And it does get to the point where, okay, if I'm not getting the base performance of the 50, even the 4090 compared to the 5080, and I'm just looking at raw numbers here. I don't really know if this stuff is going to make or break the system, if it's going to make it better, if it's going to make it faster. But we're talking CUDA cores of 16,000 on that 4090 going down to 10,000 on that 5080. These type of things kind of tell me at least that what my expectations should be for the 5080, what it should be for the 5090. The only one that actually had an increase was the 5090. And maybe that is the only car that's going to be justified in rasterization that makes sense for people to buy and still have a performance uplift without using DLSS and all the other good jazz. So I still am excited. I do want to create a NVIDIA build now. I just don't know where my entry is going to be. I need to see real performance because it may just be buying a 4090. Not gonna lie. if it's not like, and if I might find a cheap build, somebody want to, you know, jump up to the new one. So I'm like, I don't really need all that extra stuff. But at the same time, the vision for, I guess, gaming in the future is probably going to be more AI anyway. So it really does tend to favor their approach. As you all know, AMD was super scared to even announce any of their prices, which made total sense. They don't want to be overshadowed by these guys. They already get bad press already. It's not like FSR4 is making waves, even though they said it's using AI computation now. It's just the fact that, you know, NVIDIA has been doing it longer and they always have been beating you. So it's no point of us paying you any attention till you show us what it looks like. And at the same time, my preference is still AMD. Even though I feel like NVIDIA is at the top of the leaderboard when it comes to just, actual raw performance and the ability to kind of continue to innovate. But I do see merit in AMD's approach of being cautious, still kind of understanding what really drives the boat in development, or at least in graphical power, their mobile chips, their ability to kind of still have their footing in the gaming community. I think that they have the most to gain right now, especially if, you know, their mid-tier cards this year are going to be just so AI focused that they forget the reason why people, you know, generally upgrade to cards anyway. It's not for better AI performance, it's more so for better rasterized performance and getting a better uptick in games across a broad, you know, view versus these very specialized and picked 70 plus games. Ain't nobody buying a new system to play Star Wars. I'm just saying, I'm sorry they're not. Cyberpunk, you had a good one there. But you gonna wait till Witcher 4? Like, I don't really know what the next big one is that they're gonna be showcasing that's really gonna make people want to move around. That's pretty much my thoughts on the entirety of NVIDIA. I mean, there's plenty more to talk about, but I think we've covered the biggest point, and it's the graphics cards, for at least for this show. I really do think that they did a great job of showmanship. I think that the at least you being able to say we're two-timing our performance previously is significant. But and it all being AI driven tells me how far we have come since the Will Smith eating spaghetti. So it's just a lot to say there and a lot to see. So I'm looking forward to what happens next. Any other thoughts on the 50 series, NVIDIA, AI? It's the buzzword of the year. AI. Anything y'all want to add?
I mean, with the 30 series cars, when they came out, they were used for a bunch of crypto farming and NFTs and stuff like that. I think that NVIDIA, like, they are like a PC software and video game focused, but they are also interested in other industries. So that being said, I think the launch period might be a little awkward as far as like trying to get one, and or like maybe the performance for games might not be all there. So yeah, I am when you said they probably should announce this as like a different series card, that I am in agreement with as well. Or it's like, I think it's fine to have the AI features in all of their cards because that is a benefit, but some cards should focus more heavily towards certain industries. And usually the flagship cards were for video games, but we'll see how it shakes out when it actually launches.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We'll see. I think that they're doing a lot of amazing things though, for sure. And I think the goal is to catch them on their super sampling and all that stuff too. But okay. Next up, we had Lenovo's event, and luckily I sold that Lenovo last month, baby. So I read up. I'm just playing. I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna re up. Not on the Lenovo Legion Go 2. I might end up the next one I'm gonna buy is gonna obviously it's gonna be a SteamOS one. I was thinking about going back Windows, but yeah. I think SteamOS is the go-to for now. But yeah, the Lenovo Legion Go 2 was announced, and the Lenovo Legion Go S. The Lenovo Legion Go S is the first SteamOS operated handheld outside of the Steam Deck. So this is the very first time you're going to be able to play SteamOS outside of Valve's hardware. Oh, what an exciting time to be alive. And I say that simply because I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 years. I feel like we're going to be in this crazy realm where we got SteamOS outpacing both Sony and Microsoft. And we're going to have this weird situation where these companies are going to start to combine, not like say for not saying like I'm talking about share resources kind of. I do think in the future that Microsoft is probably going to have either create some form of a like the way that Linux is taking Microsoft's abilities and putting it into Linux. I think Microsoft is going to take Linux abilities and put it into Microsoft, where we're going to have this unified approach to an operating system, because Microsoft never cared that. It's funny how Microsoft never cared that all Steam was doing was getting people to hack or use Proton. I don't know if this is a legitimate thing that people can do, but Proton is simply a wormhole or gatehole into using the drives and services and systems. And is it like the kernel without using the kernel, Josh? I don't really know how Proton works, but Proton is a simple way of just being able to run Windows-based games on Linux. And I feel like we're going to have a crossover here. I feel like they're too chipper. They're too nice. Microsoft has never been nice. They've never been so friendly with Linux. I just feel like at this point, there's going to be some combination here where Linux is going to help Microsoft with their ability to actually operate a Xbox platform on a Windows-based device and utilizing some of those Linux tools. I just feel like something is finna happen that actually makes sense for Microsoft, because at the end of the day, ain't nobody moving to Linux unless they start to create I don't think it's in Steam's best interest to create a full-fledged desktop experience and start to import these games there, or these like applications and stuff like that. It just, I don't think that that's the need. Linux has been around for forever. Steam is a top platform and they understand their relationship with Windows. I just don't see them being at odds. I see them working together. And that's what I think. And this Legion Go and Steam OS version and Windows version, it just tells me that it ain't gonna be no fight, man. I think it's gonna be some cooperation here, which is fine for me. I don't really care how they do it. I just want to be able to play my games wherever I want, whenever I want, and I want to be able to sleep it without having an issue. I don't really care what platform it sits on. If they have some mixture of the both, and you still get at the end of the day, you're still going to have to buy something from Microsoft. It's just like one of those things where it's like, I don't know how it's going to work, but I see a vision for them to work together. But yeah. Did you see anything about the Lenovo Legion Go? Did either one of you see something about it? Tell me, I guess, anything you saw, or does this spark any interest in getting this fat, super large 8.8-inch device? is it on the radar now?
So for me, no, off the bat, in which don't need a huge handheld, but I am excited for it to be.
It's OLED. First, it's OLED.
Okay.
Man, that OLED ain't doing nothing for you. I don't know, man. It got VRR. That ain't doing nothing for you.
You say you don't need nothing.
I guess not. It's all good stuff, man. I don't know what y'all talking about. Good stuff.
No, I need smaller handhelds. I don't need
74 watt battery. Not doing nothing. I don't know.
I already got a 20-hour battery on mine.
Oh my goodness! What that guy play? Pac-Man? It ain't playing no Star Wars.
It can play not Jedi Survivor, but it can play Fallen Order.
Oh my goodness. Well, nah, this.
But anyways, the size of the device is not for me, and I don't the ergonomics and things like that. But I like this market because of all the options. Mm-hmm. Like Lenovo, like they're trying to, you know, push performance and innovation in one direction. Valve is handling the software side of it, and all the other companies, they all have their own little benefits as far as like size or controllers and blah blah blah. So I'm excited to finally see the best part of the Steam Deck, which is the Steam OS, be on other systems, because that on its own could like change the entire PC generation. But even though it's not generations, but like the next few years for like PC gaming, because like even when the Steam Deck came out, like a lot of people had the Steam Deck, but you even see it on like the just the developer side, mm-hmm. better support for VRR, better support for like scalability as far as like the graphic settings and things like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not every game did that, and a lot of online games have like their own anti-cheats and stuff like that, so that's their own issue. But like the developers who this allows developers to target an operating system and use the features that are there, and that's just beneficial for all the players. So I'm happy to see the Legion actually get the Steam OS, and even if you, I guess they do got what, two different versions of the device. If it can run one, it should be able to run the other. It might not be as like performant, but that being said, this finally coming out makes it better for everybody else because this is a open platform as far as like Linux.
Yeah,
and even though, you know, Valve, they do own SteamOS, but it is going to be open in a sense where once it's out to the wild, people can tweak in and stuff like that and do it. So that I'm excited about, because if we think back to like iOS versus Android, I think that set, like, even now the mobile industry back a whole bunch, because they're not allowed to use anybody in the other's innovation with Windows and Linux. If somebody's willing to do the work, you can have all the benefits from one on the other. And I personally am excited to see that.
Oh, for sure. That's pretty much how, you know, the Steam Deck got so popular, because everybody in the community was working to make it so seamless and approachable and easy to understand and easy to tweak stuff. So it became such a community project that it probably just skyrocketed its performance and abilities to kind of get stuff done over the years. And as you can see, that is the true power of, you know, people that want to back get behind a great product. So the cool thing about the Legion Go S is $499 starting, which is really good. It's very competitive with the Steam Deck. It does have the Z2 Extreme. It does still have the Z1 Extreme. So it isn't necessarily going to have the more powerful chip in it. It's going to still have some of the same actual components that the first Legion Go had. But it is going to be rocking SteamOS now. So we're going to have a direct comparison on how performative SteamOS will allow a device to be over Windows running the same hardware. So it's really going to be it's going to be fascinating to see that type of stuff and those types of videos and comparisons. But at the end of the day, it's $499, bro. It's more competition, and it's also giving you a better chip. So yeah, I'm super excited about this. I'm really am like excited to see the evolution of SteamOS. I feel like it should be everywhere. I feel like it should be in a handheld. I feel like it should be on consoles. I feel like it should be something I can boot into if I wanted to on my Windows. And I think that Windows will allow it. I really do. I really feel like they're going to just create a kernel for SteamOS. And it's going to be something that is in partnership with Microsoft. And Microsoft is going to tweak it. And it's going to be Windows operated or operating on SteamOS or something. And I really do feel like that's the only way Windows will knock its walls down to allow Game Pass to be playable on SteamOS and things like that. Because it's going to be a somewhat a combination of two. That's my thoughts. I mean, it's my prayer, because really they don't got to do none of that. They don't have to be nice. They don't have to be happy with one another. They could literally stay competitors and lose out on the benefit to work together. But I just don't see that happening, because Steam and Windows have been working together for a very long time. It didn't fall out and get bad until like Windows, I want to say 8. When they wanted to do that stupid app stuff and close the walls down to what they can do. So I feel like, I guess this is more so a humbling experience for them. And I feel like Windows should take heed of it and truly join the bandwagon of what this is and create something special here. Because honestly, I don't need a Windows. I don't need a Microsoft handheld if I got a Steam OS that's operating and working through Windows and has the compatibility to kind of take care of all games and still have the ability to do other things too. I just feel like that functionality there makes it unique. I think Steam OS can still be its own thing and allow for the innovation and compatibility to be switched over to Windows to allow for an even better experience in a different way. And those not have to compete with one another, because as they share resources and abilities, that becomes and shows that they have some type of unity in creating a platform that makes sense for all gamers on handhelds, and maybe even on their PCs, because everybody isn't as productive. Everybody doesn't need to run and operate all their applications through Windows, and they're not going to lose the businesses. Ain't nobody going to switch to Linux. It's going to be one of those things where they can coexist. So I want to see it, and I'm hopeful for that. But yeah, anything else on Lenovo? Anything that y'all saw or thought about that should be stated, or anything y'all want to mention?
You had the Legion, right? You switched it out for what?
I just kept my Steam Deck OLED and just did. I just sold it so I can actually it funded my PS5 Pro. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't buy anything else.
Yeah, I was just looking at the new one. Like, I think it looks a lot better than the old one, like ergonomics wise. But I just prefer a smaller handheld. Because if I need a big screen or OLED, I just play on my desktop.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, it is a big one. It's a beefy boy. I'm not going to lie. And this one doesn't even have a kickstand. That's my favorite part. So the Lenovo Legion Go 2 would be still the one I would get if I was to get a big one again. But I do feel a lot more comfortable with the smaller screen with a better image. I just don't like the 800p. Option on the Steam Deck. Even with the OLED, I need either 1080p or higher. Maybe 1080p should be fine. You know what I mean? I just feel like that is my minimum now. 800p is cool. I'm not saying it's bad. But I can tell the graininess of it, and I can see it, and I don't like it, because then I'm judging it and I'm like, well, the PS Portal could be at 1080p. Why can't this thing be at 1080p? So I think 1080p is my end all be all. Once it's there, I don't really need nothing else. I don't need it to be sharper. I don't need 1440p or 1600p. But that sweet spot for me is 1080. And having a sharper screen, more pixels, allows for a better experience. So I might, that's what I'm holding out for. And I think that's what the Steam Deck is going to do when the next time it comes out. But yeah, Lenovo. Asus. I could have sworn Asus was also going to be doing have a meeting, but I didn't see anything for Asus. The only thing I saw was this gaming tablet. I thought it was cool. But everything else, they didn't show any Rogue Ally. They didn't show anything that I was necessarily interested in. Did you see anything from Asus?
No, I didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think they recently re-released
the Rogue Ally X, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, their 2025, theirs was not that interesting. Obviously, I'm only checking for like true handhelds, or I'm only checking for Asus for handhelds. I'm not really checking them for them anything else. I did see the modular gaming laptop, which I thought was really, really cool. Where you can like literally, I believe it was the, I'm trying to remember the name, but basically you can like add more RAM and it's no screwdrivers. You just pop the back plate off, twist the top, pull the RAM out. You could twist the top, pull the SSD card, and expand the SSD card slot on the left. It was like really, really cool designed, and it was a 5090 in it. So they had a really cool laptop. I'm just not a laptop gamer. I never needed a laptop to game. It just seems like the more preferred experience for any mobile game is going to be a handheld. So never was really interested in a laptop, but I did see some pretty cool innovation there with the Asus. I don't even remember the name of it. Shoot. It was the main one too. Why can't I remember that name? Anyways, it looked cool. Would y'all ever buy a gaming laptop? Or, well, never mind. I know Jalen just bought one to buy one. But
yeah, I didn't buy it specifically for gaming, but like I was just like, you know, I could if I wanted to.
Now, have you ever owned a gaming laptop, Josh? I think you have.
Yeah, I've had gaming laptops. Where I stand with them now, and I mean, I do use them like at work and stuff like that, and so they're useful because like you can just boot up like a any game, and it has pretty decent performance. But my issue with gaming laptops is for the price that you're paying, you have to sacrifice a lot as far as like there's a sweet spot of like battery life, performance, and then like the cost. And for me, I don't think it's justified in which the performance level that I want versus the pay that I want, the cost I want to pay, is just not there. I would rather a weaker device like a Steam Deck or something like that, that is 100% tailored for games. That way I get decent performance, but I'm not paying for the extra stuff that's in a laptop. Because I just don't see the benefit. Whereas like if I'm going to pay $1,000, I might as well just get a desktop. And if I want to pay less than $1,000 to play games, get a Steam Deck or one of these devices that can run Windows or Steam OS. Because, that's just where I'm at. But they are useful, but you are spending money for the portability. And it's a sacrifice for the performance.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just never, like I said, I've never been a laptop guy. This didn't make sense. It was always one of those things where if I'm going to be gaming, I'm going to be gaming in the best experience possible, or at least the experience that I felt the best. And it was never plugging my laptop in and sitting there on a tiny 15, 16 inch screen and going at it. So just didn't make sense. But that was mostly console gaming. I think gaming laptops really took off when kids was going to college and they thought that, it was our generation, really. It was meant for our generation. I don't know how many people are still buying gaming laptops out there that probably aren't from our generation. Maybe it's a lot and I'm just tripping, but I got cousins, I got little nieces and nephews. I don't ever see nobody just walking around with a gaming laptop anymore. They gotta be like, maybe it's always been that transitional period when you're going to from high school to college, and you gotta get a laptop for college anyway. And some people just decide to get a gaming one. I just never see it, So
yeah, if it's about really playing it, you gotta play the game that bad, just stream it.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they, and they're not playing much more so than Fortnite and Roblox, so they don't really need these high-end, overly engineered laptops. So I really do feel like it is just us in the market that's out here buying these things at this point. So,
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're good for stability. I mean, I feel like they're good for people that's like moving around a lot and stuff. They really need to play, but now we got handhelds and stuff now, so I don't think the efficiency is like really present anymore, especially like with the battery life and how much they cost. If you could dim down your experience just a little bit, you could get a portable, like a handheld, that's going to run way better. or be more efficient and easier to carry, because gaming laptops is pretty heavy too. Additionally, like with us, like you made a good point talking to like our age group that probably got a like transitional period. If anybody got any sort of stability and they not like in a military or just like moving around and things like that, I mean, I think a desktop would probably be the most preferred method, just because like I'm not ripping and running. I could just come to the home and play my game and, you know, treat it similar to like a console experience. So obviously we got to move and stuff like Jaleel, your prime example of keeping his desktop and be going everywhere. And then my mom was complaining, like, I got to pay X amount of dollars. I think she said it's like $500 to ship all that stuff. And he was like saying, well, pack it up in his box. You know what I'm saying? It's way too much work at this point. Oh my God. Hello, my little brother, but just for the people that's listening. But yeah, he just, I'd be like, bro, if you don't just stop playing laptops, or I mean, desktop gaming, and just get a freaking laptop or freaking get a portable or something, because I'd be tired of hearing about him and his desktop and then his parts. I'm like, man, you're gonna take that mug elsewhere and just. It's going to get thrown around in the UPS truck or whatever. And then, you know what I'm saying? You always talking about moving that mug. I'd be like, bro, I'm tired of hearing about this desktop, bro. And you helped him build it. Didn't you help him build it like in 2019 or something?
Yeah, I did.
2018? Yeah, man. I'm going to blame you for that. It's like you forgot my name.
Yeah, whatever. It's all at the club. We all fam. Nah, that was definitely one of those. That was funny too, because I think he had to take it back out and like do something with, because he ain't set something down correctly. But it got it running. We good now. That was my second time creating a PC. But yeah, the gaming laptops, I feel like, is, yeah, one of those things where I'm just like, I don't see the interest anymore, but they keep creating them. So there got to be somebody out there looking for them. And I think that as a prime example is people that are moving around, moving and shaking, and probably are big gamers too, and they prefer PC gaming a lot. So that might be the goal. But as these handhelds get more powerful and more powerful and more custom and easy and portable, I just don't see the appeal to me. And that's probably why they made this gaming tablet. I never seen one before. But yeah, they created a gaming tablet as well. So very, very much, very interesting stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I wanted to discuss from CES. Was there anything you guys saw from LG or anybody else that y'all saw that I thought would be interesting to kind of cover at all? Because next thing I was going to talk about was, I was going to move back into some other stuff. But anything y'all saw from CES that y'all wanted to cover?
Not for me.
Nah.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. Let's talk about this Switch too. It pretty much has been revealed, because everything has leaked, from the controllers to the motherboard to the screen design to the button layout to pretty much everything. I don't know what is left to really discover. But the big indication from the motherboard is that it is a, I believe it was either a 7 or 8 nanometer, which I'm not finna pretend like I know what that stuff means. All I know is that the larger the nanometer, the more power the power efficiency is worse. So it is up there, and everybody thought it was going to be a certain type of nanometer that was going to allow for better performance and better clock speeds, but it is one of those ones that's going to be weaker. And if they have to lower those clock speeds, you're not going to get the performance you think you're getting. And you're probably going to be getting a lower image upscale to 1080p, 1440p, or 4K. And this may still have some of those cool features, but the output may not be as joyous as you may want as you're going through some of the games. And it is going to be comparable to a lower resolution PS4. I feel like when I talk about the Switch and Nintendo, my biggest concern for them is that they don't mess it up, right? They don't make the mistakes they always make. They don't have the blunders that they always create where they mess it up. I think this is primed to be messed up, simply due to the fact that this is the generation normally when they do. Wii U, Switch 2. This is the generation. They always skip one. So to me, regardless of what they put out, I think it'll sell okay. I just don't think they're going to find the success of the Switch that they found before. And I don't think it's going to be that much of a grand of a leap. I think it's going to be a leap in regards to what they previously put out. But to us, it's going to be pretty standard. And effectively, the best thing that's going to be good on that console again is going to be Nintendo games, which that's all they really have to do. So, I don't want to compare it to a Steam Deck. I don't want to compare it to anything else because honestly, if I'm in the market for a Steam Deck, I'm not in the market for a Switch. And if I'm in the market for both, then I'm in the market for both. What I can say is this. They have created this stigma. They have created their problem, and I don't see them successfully maneuvering through it. I just see that they're going to continue to have their ebbs and lows, and they're going to continue to be Nintendo throughout. The key to all of this is that I feel as long as it's backwards compatible, that's all that really matters at this point. Until they break that backwards compatibility is when I will probably buy another console from them. Hear me out. I'm not saying I won't buy this Switch 2. When they break their backwards compatibility, that is when I know they tried to innovate. I know they're not trying to innovate right now. I know they're trying to keep status quo, and I think that's the problem. I don't think the Nintendo should try to please people by staying with the backwards compatibility. I know it's anti-consumer. I know that it's a problem. But honestly, I'm not going to go back and play any of their games, so it never made sense to me anyway. I never bought any of their games without selling them because all their games hold their fair value. And I don't care to play any of their old games because, again, those experiences don't tend to get better. They tend to stay the same and still be great. So, to me, the only time to truly buy a new console from them is when they innovate. And they're not doing that. What are your thoughts on Nintendo Switch 2? And do y'all feel like it's enough? Or, I guess, what do y'all feel right now? If we're talking Switch 2, we're talking the successor, we're talking the value of their brand right now, we're talking their games. What do y'all think about the Switch 2?
I could just go real quick. So as far as like the Switch 2, I seen like a few leaks or whatever. I seen something about you might be up there like the PS4, man, you know, generation and a half away. Mm-hmm. But I think I just want to take it back to like even just when I decide to get a new console, like what's going through my mind. So generally what's going through my mind when I'm gonna get a new console is like, hey, I'm gonna keep playing the games basically. So I need a console that's gonna be able to play the games. You know, the games gonna keep coming out this and the third. I need something that I can adequately play on. Otherwise, gonna get left in the dust. The mm-hmm. game's gonna be bogged down. You know, we get that split generation type thing when they get stuff on a PS4 and a PS5 at the same time. But if you want a more definitive experience, go for the PS5 version. So with that being said, keeping that same basis in mind or principle, I guess I would for sure get a Switch 2 just on a basis. It's like, well, If I want to play Nintendo games, I need to go get a Switch. Go get the next Switch. However, I think the roadblock that I've been running into, because I haven't been playing my Switch. So because I haven't been playing my Switch, how likely am I to get a Switch 2? Obviously, it's more upgrades if I don't play Nintendo things there, but is there something that's going to really, really drive me to get the Switch? And I think just speaking like general, not like for me, I'm just speaking real generally though. I guess going to me speaking specifically, I don't really foresee myself getting a Switch 2 until I think they have a decent catalog of games that I will A, want to play, and B, have the time to play, because I think the Switch came out at an effective time where, you know, people was talking about the pandemic or the pandemic and, you know, handheld gaming and stuff. It was big, but it wasn't as big with like the portable PCs and things like that, like it is now. Like it seemed like it's hitting the market a lot stronger now. So even though the Switch don't necessarily have quote unquote competitors, because if you want to play Nintendo games, you're going to get a Switch. It's just, if I want those third party games, and you know, they always talk about the third party games that sell it. So I guess I'm kind of alluding to, I think the third party games really need to sell the Switch, and the people who want to play Nintendo games and the people who want to play third party games is kind of that's going to be like the differentiating factor. I just think that the Switch had a lot of success because it came out with that other Switch version, and people was like, well, I want to play something portable and, you know, had that flexibility to do those things. That was the draw point. But I don't think that this will necessarily have the same draw point, because the Switch already did it and it's not as quote unquote innovative. So I think they might need the third party support and maybe a little bit more innovation in order for it to sell, and to not others, not only others, but me also, if that makes sense. I'm just not invested in an ecosystem enough to be like, I need to go get a Switch 2. I need to go get a Switch 2, because I haven't even been playing a Switch I got. So,
yeah, I agree. I feel like there's a lack of a benefit. What about you, Josh?
I mean, I haven't been playing the Switch just because the device is old, and it's not even, I felt like the hardware was old when it came out, but the Switch is like 8 years old. So
yeah,
the software that's being made for it now is just past its prime. So if you can give me a new Nintendo hardware with Nintendo games, I don't have any issue buying it, because I personally will buy and I will personally play third-party games on the Nintendo Switch. Or I did, because that was basically the only handheld out. So if I wanted to play any game, third-party game, mobile, I either had to stream it with streaming that sucked in 2018 or play it on the Switch. And so playing on the Switch was the worst option, but it was the only option. Versus now with Steam Deck and everything else, I personally don't feel like I need it for third-party games, but like, nobody buys Nintendo systems for third-party games. Like, if they can show a Zelda game that is PS4 level, then everybody would buy it, because that's all that people really care about, is that we got Nintendo games and modern-ish hardware. So I don't think it will have any issues selling. I don't have any issue buying it. Just put out the games. Like, that's usually Nintendo struggles when they don't have any games coming out. And as long as they can avoid that, they'll be good.
Okay. I guess my concern with the approach is that this is the year of continuation. This is the year where their new Zelda game is probably going to hit the Switch, regardless. And any of the blow that would have been felt is no longer going to be felt, because they have 150 million of those out there right now. So all it is going to be where you can play your games potentially better. And I just don't see it being enough for the masses. I do see it being enough for Nintendo fans, and I do see it being enough for most people. But honestly, I feel like this is the year to wait. Like, I feel like I did the right thing with the Wii U as well. I just waited to the end of the generation. Then I played all the games I wanted to play. And the experience was better for me at that point because I felt like I didn't have this feeling of regret because the entire generation, it was lackluster. I just felt like I had this joy of, playing, Toad Tracker, Treasure Tracker. I was playing Donkey Kong. I was playing, I even played Zombie U and stuff like that. Like the experiences that you were providing me over the years while we was in college, I just went back and played them. So I didn't think it was cool. I just didn't think it was cool enough for me to go out and buy one. And I feel like I'm gonna be to feel the same way. Now, granted, I'm in a different space. I'm in a different position where I could probably just buy it and just leave it, let it sit for a long time and be okay with that. But it just like if I was still in that same mindset then as I was today, this would be the generation to wait until the end. Because at the end is where I'm going to truly see the benefits. I'm truly going to see if it was worthy enough of the upgrade or whatever the case may be, and it's going to be at the point where it's probably going to be at its most valuable. And I just don't feel like the entire generation is going to feel that way. I feel like you're going to get some bankers here and there, and those bangers aren't going to be enough to sustain a group of people that one already have something comparable, and two, the people that is looking for them better experiences. It's just going to be a mixture of the in between, and nobody's going to have fun. That's what I think is going to happen. Because this is not the year of innovation. This is the year to sustain. I mean, this is the console generation to sustain. And that's where I fall, where I'm like, I think they're gonna mess up. And that's cool. It's not like they're gonna lose. They're not gonna lose. That's not. I don't want that to be this. What this? They're gonna sell well because they're still gonna have that tinkering between the two. I really do believe they have no zero interest in leaving a Switch behind. I wouldn't leave a Switch behind, even if it's 8 years old. So that's what I think. That's what I think is what happened. And I think that most people should simmer their expectations because, yeah, it's going to be a 7 nanometer or or whatever, but it's going to be running games that were built for the Switch. So you're going to be fine. It's going to be great as a handheld, but it's just not going to be something that's going to make people want to go out and buy it. That is my
Yeah.
opinion. That is not fact.
Yeah, it's just a game. If they got like a new Mario game, everybody gonna buy it.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, and what I was saying was, I don't think that it's gonna do bad. I just don't think it's gonna do as well as the Switch did. I think the Switch caught people in a vulnerable time during the pandemic. That's when people started picking their games and picking their weight. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go. You feel me? But because of now, I think they will have to find like a something big will have to happen to cause them to sell a lot. I think as long as they're not pigeonholing people into doing all those crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like with this Wii U is doing, dang, my gamepad dead, bro. Hold on, me charging my game. I can't find it. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I think it's gonna do well as long as they got the Marios, the Zeldas. Maybe they might be able to catch some nostalgia with Animal Crossing or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And then, I mean, they gonna be good. I mean, is it gonna sell it to Deontay on day one? Probably not. Jalen on day one? I mean, most definitely not. Josh, I mean, Nintendo fanboy, you gotta do his best, man. Support. Nah, just why? But nah, but that's all I'm saying with it though. Like, I think it's gonna sell well. I think because the Switch did well, that's gonna help perpetuate it. You know, it's a Switch too. Keeping that name the same gonna cause people that's, they do always be like, all right, bet. But I just don't think it's gonna do as well as the Switch did. So, but we'll see though. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, we will see for sure. I think that the good thing about all this stuff is it's all speculation. They could come out with some software that's super, super good that shuts me right on up and helps me get over the hump of feeling like this is going to be the generation to skip, at least for most of it. But with that being said, and I got a freaking, man, my sinuses are messing up. I'm freaking stuffy. Can't even talk right. So I apologize if I've been sounding all crazy, but that's pretty much it. I didn't have much else to say. Did you guys have anything else that you guys wanted to discuss before we get up out of here? Anything last minute topics that I didn't catch? Nah.
Oh yeah. Marvel. I know I've been talking about it a lot. Y'all played a little bit, but the big news is that season one or the new season is starting, and it's gonna be 3 months, and they're gonna have four new characters in one season versus in
Jeez.
comparison to Overwatch, we get one new character every 3 seasons or every other season. Yeah, I think it's actually every three. Like they do season 9 and then season 12. So basically, Overwatch you get maybe two characters a year, and Marvel we drop in four in the first season. I
Jeez
don't know if they're gonna do four
Louise.
every season, but it seems like it. So for me, that tells me their approach to balancing the game is we want as many characters and maybe let you have as much fun as possible. Balance, we don't care about. So I think for me right now, that's what I'm looking for. But four characters, and they're not coming all day one. They're gonna drop them throughout the season. But like four characters at one time is scary when you think about like balance. Like fighting games, they do one every 6 months, type stuff.
No, and they already got a pretty extensive roster, so with all with flaws already. So I feel like Marvel Rivals is fun. I mean, it's not it's super it's enjoyable in spurts, and I feel like definitely the easiest to jump in and kind of get some wins. I was playing with my, like I said, I was playing with my little brother, and we was playing together, and he was having a blast, and I was just trying to keep him alive. He was running around playing Venom. I'm telling him to back up, and you can stay alive because that game is so, I don't know, it's so not as strategic as Overwatch. So I was able to keep him alive. He was able to make some plays. He was able to use his supers. He was having fun. The controls are very simplistic because they basically are Overwatch controls, and he enjoyed himself, and we won. So won a few matches. So it's one of those things where, yeah, he was playing on my account, so I know it wasn't no bot. So, but anyways, it was kind of one of those things where, you can tell that the game is a little bit more laid back, the approach is more simplistic, and most people can do a lot of damage or be aggressive on the field and make it work regardless of the setup. So, it's definitely one of those things where you have to play it to really understand it. So.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I was just surprised to see that. And it's a rarity for online games.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, I think we had a good pod.
Okay. All righty. Well, as usual, I want to thank you guys for listening. As always, I appreciate you, especially if you got to this part. You're the real OG. Thanks for listening to us ramble, talk about stuff, and again, we appreciate you, and we'll see you when we ramble again and that next week. But you can check us out wherever you can find your podcast, on my YouTube channel, wherever you like. Thanks again, and we will see you all next week. Peace.